Here in Revelation chapter number 19, we'll look here at the second coming of Jesus Christ here in verse 11. Revelation chapter 19, look there, starting in verse number 11. Revelation 19, 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for bringing us here today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word here today, Lord. I pray now that you fill me with your spirit. I pray, Lord, you use me to speak your words. And I pray, Lord, you speak to our hearts here today as we learn, as we open your word and we learn what you have for us here today. Lord, I pray that for each one of us here, Lord, wherever we are in life, wherever we are in our relationship with you, Lord, I pray we'll not leave here the same. Lord, change us, mold us, make us more like you in your image. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the very next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture of the born-again believers in Jesus Christ. Nothing needs to take place before the rapture happens. The rapture can happen at this very, very next moment. I mean, Paul was looking for Jesus Christ. Paul was looking for him to return in his lifetime. And we're 2,000 years down the road. Hey, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, after the rapture comes the judgment seat of Christ for the Christians, for the saved, for those that were raptured up into heaven. We will stand before the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and we will give an account of our Christian life. Let that stuck in for a minute there. But now those people that were not saved, those people that were not born again, those people that did not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will be left behind on this earth when the rapture takes place. And things on this earth are not going to be so nice. Things on this earth are not going to be so pleasant. This will be a time like no other time ever before. A time of torture. A time of pain, a time of death, and we're talking about mass death, all right? We're talking about deception. Deception. There will be a 7-year period of tribulation where God will pour out His wrath to the unbelieving world. And it is during this time, during this tribulation period, after the rapture, again, after the rapture, that a man will come onto the scene. He will come and take over, basically take control of the world. Now, you think about the rapture taking place, and you think about people just mysteriously vanishing. right? People in airplanes, people in cars, people in their homes, babies gone. Just the rapture is going to be chaos, right? It's going to be complete chaos on this world, on this earth. And just think about it. All over the world, Christians will vanish. There's going to be a panic. There's going to be a fear. There's going to be death going on. There's going to be destruction. And it is after this time that when the Antichrist will come on scene. We remember he will assume power in one of the nations of the old Roman Empire, and he will overcome three of those nations of the old Roman Empire, and all the others will surrender their power to him, and then he will form a federation of nations of some sort out of that old Roman Empire, and he will come into a world dominance, a world power. But remember, he initially comes on the scene as a man of peace in Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 2. He comes on that white horse. But again, that's a counterfeit Jesus Christ. But he is going to bring about unity in this time, and he is going to bring about peace to this hostile world, and he will come on scene as the peacemaker. He's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel, and the temple will be rebuilt. There's a lot of talk going on now about the temple and how they're breeding some red heifers, and they have everything. Everything is all ready to go for the temple, but the temple will not be built until after the rapture when this Antichrist comes on scene. But the Jews are going to be ecstatic. The Jews are going to be happy. The Jews are going to be loving this man because they think the Jews are going to think he is their Messiah. Right? Finally, the Messiah has come. The man that brings peace has finally come. But let me tell you, after 3.5 years, this Antichrist, he will break his treaty with Israel, and he will commit the abomination of desolation. And we looked at that in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, if you remember that, the division, the 70 weeks vision there. And also talks about it in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus talks about that. But the Antichrist is going to set himself up as God, and he is going to blaspheme the one true God, and he is going to unleash fury. He is going to unleash great tribulation on the world in this last 3.5 year period. But now we also saw not only the Antichrist, but we also been looking at another beast, right? Another beast. We saw a second beast, one just like the Antichrist, the false prophet. Revelation 13 verse 11 says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." You see, this false prophet is the second beast who rises up out of the earth. Meaning he comes from among the people. He comes from among the people. Right? Remember the Antichrist, he rises up out of the nations. Out of the nations. But even though this false prophet here appears innocent, just like a lamb is not nothing to be scared of or afraid of. But a lamb appears innocent. He appears innocent like a lamb, but let me tell you, he speaks like a dragon. He speaks like a dragon. Revelation 12 in verse number 9 says, "Then the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." You see, that dragon speech comes from Satan, none other than Satan. But the Antichrist, he is a smooth talker. He is a smooth talker. Kind of makes me think of like a Joel Osteen kind of guy. You know, he is a smooth talker, but yet he has the power of the Pope. I mean, the Pope has worldwide power, worldwide renown. You know, and if we can look at it in our day and read the scriptures, and we would say, yeah, the Pope is like the perfect guy, the prime example of what we're talking about here. But we don't know how it's gonna play out or what it's gonna look like. But you know, he's gonna speak very, very good. But he's gonna be deceptive. He'll be a religious leader. He'll mimic Christ. He'll imitate Christ. But in the end, he serves Satan and he deceives the people. We know that he performs miracles in this time, and he even calls down fire from heaven, again using lying wonders to deceive the world into worshiping the Antichrist. That's what his goal is, to get the world to worship the Antichrist, and he is the ultimate false teacher. Revelation 13, verse 16 says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." The mark of the beast, right? Mark of the beast. Without this mark, you can't buy food. Without this mark, you can't get medicine. Without this mark, you can't eat, you can't buy, and you can't sell. And eventually, you will die if you do not take this mark. But the interesting thing about the mark is all those that receive the mark of the beast are voicing their loyalty to the Antichrist, meaning they reject Jesus Christ. Right? They reject Jesus Christ. But here's the thing with all this. The reign of the Antichrist and the false prophet is very short-lived. It is very, very short-lived. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." We need to remember God is sovereign. God is in control. He's not willing that any should perish. He tarries today because there's one more soul to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that day when Jesus comes back, you know, he is in control of everything. He is in control of the time whenever he comes back. But I'm telling you, he's coming back. He's coming back. Why? Because the Bible says. And when he's going to come to destroy the armies of the world. So we're looking here today at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want you to see today is I want you to see the gathering to Armageddon. All right, the gathering to Armageddon. If you flip over to Revelation chapter 16, and look there in verse number 16. So if you weren't here over the last week or you missed a week or something, you just got a crash course on what we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks. So now you're caught up. Amen? Amen. So we're looking here at the gathering to Armageddon, right? Looking forward, looking to that battle of Armageddon here. Revelation 16:16 tells us, "And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon." All right? Armageddon. Now, as we begin to look in here at the gathering to Armageddon, I'm going to tell you, we got to look. There's a lot of prophecy. All right, there is a lot of prophecy throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. But if you would, flip over to the book of Zechariah. Let me start here in the book of Zechariah. It's right there at the end of the Old Testament, right before Malachi. But the book of Zechariah is filled with prophecies on the coming of Jesus Christ. And if you would, flip over to Zechariah chapter number 14. Look there in Zechariah chapter number 14. I'm just showing you here the gathering to Armageddon, right? We're gathering the forces, the armies to Armageddon. Zechariah chapter 14, look here in verses 1 and 2 to begin here. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." Right? The day of the Lord is coming. The day that Jesus Christ comes. The second time it's coming. Verse 2, "For I will," again here it says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." He goes on here, it says, "And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Now here Zechariah tells us that all the nations are going to gather against Jerusalem. And apparently Jesus Christ doesn't come back. Before he comes back, there's going to be some fighting going on, because he tells us there in verse 2. But the day of the Lord is coming. The day that Jesus Christ is coming back is coming. The Antichrist is here. The Antichrist is gathered to Armageddon. The kings of the earth are gathered here. the armies are gathered here to make war against Jesus Christ. And so we see here the gathering to Armageddon. The war is about to begin. But here's the thing with this war. Here's the thing with this battle. This is not just a regular battle or any old battle or any battle that's ever been before. This here is the final battle. This is the final rebellion against God, and this is the battle of Armageddon, where the Lord will gather all the armies of the world into one place here. Look there in verse number 3. In verse number 3, it says, "Then shall the Lord go forth. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when He fought in the day of battle." This will mark the end of the 7-year tribulation. This will mark the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, where He will set up His 1,000-year reign, His millennial reign. But here we know all the armies in the world are going to come to this place. Under the leadership of the Antichrist, and ultimately they're empowered by Satan. Ultimately, that's who they're getting their power from, is through Satan. But they're all going to come together to fight against Israel and Jesus Christ. So if you would, flip back over there to Revelation chapter number 16. Revelation chapter number 16, if you could flip back over there. And look here, starting in verse number 12. I just want to show you here the gathering to Armageddon here. In Revelation chapter 16, look here, starting in verse number 12. It says here, And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. That's amazing. This river is dried up. And why is it dried up? Well, it tells us, listen, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So these unclean spirits, these evil spirits coming out of Satan, coming out of the beast, coming out of the Antichrist, and the false prophet here. In verse 14 says, "For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them," right, "to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." So these spirits are going out to gather the armies and to gather the men to come into battle. Now this Euphrates River, it originates in eastern Turkey, and it flows through Syria and Iraq before it joins into the Tigris River and eventually empties into the Persian Gulf. But the thing of it is with this river is it's no small river. It's not a small river. It's over 1,700 miles long. But it's going to be dried up. It's going to be dried up. That's a very fact because God says it. And the very fact of it is this the clear judgment of God. A clear judgment, a clear work of God that enables this, that empowers this river to be dried up. And it's for one purpose only. It's for all those armies to march toward Israel. Open it up. Get them all here. Now we know that the kings of the east, we know that these are the nations east of Palestine. These could be Arab nations. This could be China, but other eastern nations. We also know that there will be kings from the north will be coming down. And this will include all nations north of Palestine. This can include Russia. All right, and then we have the kings of the south. All the nations south there, this could include Africa, and then everything from the west. Everything from the rest. European nations, or whatever is left in this time. But whatever is left, all the nations are going to converge on Jerusalem. They're going to converge for the battle of Armageddon. It's interesting there, because in verse 14 it says that talks about the demons, right? The spirits of the devils, how they're working miracles, and these miracle-working devils are going about to motivate the armies to move towards Jerusalem. The river is dried up, and so they're going to say, "Hey, we got it easy. Let's go. Let's go attack." Now, as far as Armageddon, right? We know that the Valley of Megiddo is Armageddon, but the R means mountains, And the Megiddon means Megiddo. And so it's a valley meaning meeting in the mountains. Meeting in the mountains. Okay? And the Antichrist will gather his armies to fight against God in that valley. In the valley of Megiddo, which is called Armageddon. Now that valley there is about 54 miles north of Jerusalem. This is just some gee whiz information for you. And it lies between the mountains of Galilee in the north and Mount Carmel to the west and Mount Gilboa to the south. And the river valley itself is 14 miles wide by 21 miles long. So now here's some interesting stuff for you to know. This valley here, this Megiddo valley here, Armageddon, is home to various very important battles, very popular battles over throughout history. Many battles have taken place here. Judges 4 and 5, we have Deborah and Barak defeated the Canaanites there. Gideon defeated the Midianites there in Judges 7. Saul was killed here by the Philistines in 1 Samuel 31, verse 8. In 2 Kings 9:27, Ahaziah was killed by Jehu, and Josiah was killed there as well in 2 Kings 23. And there was also some more recent battles there as well. So it's a very, very common place for battles to take place. And this Megiddo, this valley of Megiddo, will be a great launch pad, basically, for the Antichrist and his armies to attack Jerusalem. And so let's look at one more prophecy here of the gathering. So if you could turn over to Joel chapter number 3. Joel chapter number 3. So we're looking here at the gathering to Armageddon. The gathering, we know that the great river Euphrates is drying up. The great kings and armies from all around the world are going to converge and gather here for the battle of Armageddon. And in Joel chapter number 3, which is another, Joel is another book about prophecy here. And so you can read Zechariah, Joel. Those would be good to go along with what we'll be studying here and what we've been studying. But in Joel chapter 3, just look quickly at verse number 2. He says here, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now this here, Jehoshaphat, means God will judge. It means the place where God will judge. God will gather all of the armies here for the battle of Armageddon. And look there at verse number 9. He says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Right? So here's the calling. Calling all the kings. Calling all your armies. Come on. The river's dried up. Beat your plowshares into swords. And your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Verse 11. Assemble yourselves. Armies. Assemble yourselves. And come, all ye heathen. And gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. This here is the great gathering, as well as, you know, again, for the day of Armageddon. This is the day when the armies of the world will be destroyed, and the ungodly and evil of this world will be destroyed. Jesus Christ will come back. He will rule and reign over this earth. And so you see here the gathering, right? We have the gathering. The armies have gathered. But it's interesting, here we talk about peace. Right? The whole world wants peace, but now these armies and the kings and all these people that have gathered, it's not about peace, but it's in resistance to one. It's in resistance to Israel, and it's in resistance to the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to annihilate them both. So basically, here it is. We have on one side, we have the Antichrist, we have the false prophet, we have the kings and the armies of the earth, and we have Satan. And now on the other side, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what else we have? The heavenly armies coming back with Jesus Christ, which is the saved. We'll look at that. And we also have the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God. That's powerful. Amen?
Amen.
So let's see here. The scene is set. The gathering, the Armageddon is in place. And you know what happens? The heaven opens up. The heaven opens up, number two here. The heaven opened up. So if you get back to Revelation chapter number 19, back to our text. So we saw the gathering to Armageddon, and now we're going to see, secondly, the heaven is open. In Revelation chapter number 19, look there at verse 11. And I saw heaven open. Amen. Amen. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, soon after the Antichrist gathers his armies together, the heaven will open, and Jesus Christ will come to earth for the second time, his second coming, to destroy the forces there and to deliver Israel from destruction. Ever since the beginning of time, ever since man's, before the foundation of the world was formed, ever since man had sinned, ever since Jesus died on the cross, ever since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, ever since his ascension back into heaven, has been leading up to this point. The second coming of Jesus Christ. And now finally, all the wickedness of this world that has existed in this world since the fall of man will be overthrown. Jesus Christ will defeat that man's sins, will be judged and punished, and Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom and his millennial reign on earth. And you know what's interesting here as well is Jesus isn't coming as a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger, is he? Nope, he's coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's coming to fight the battle of Armageddon, the final battle to destroy evil, and the battle that will usher in the righteousness of God upon this earth. Notice there in verse 11, he says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." Now, if you remember, Revelation chapter 6, verse number 2, the Antichrist imitated Jesus Christ coming on a white horse. But here is the true Messiah. Here is the faithful and true coming from heaven on a white horse. It says, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. The second coming of Jesus Christ is the most important doctrine, one of the most important doctrines in the Word of God. He is coming back just like he said he would. If you could hold your place here and then turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, look here. In Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, look here in verse number 9. Acts chapter 1, look here in verse number 9, the ascension of Jesus Christ back up into heaven. Says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly, the disciples looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" It's amazing, right? Could you imagine we're sitting here talking, all of a sudden one of us just started floating up into the clouds and just disappeared? Wouldn't you be staring too? We'd be like, "What just happened? Did you see that? That's amazing." But get this, what he says next. He says, this same Jesus, you get that? Not an imposter. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This will be a literal, visible, bodily return of Jesus Christ to this world. Now, I'm not going to make a turn there, but back in Zechariah chapter 14, in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." He is putting his feet on the Mount of Olives on this earth. He is going to come back. He is going to come back just like the Bible says He would. But if you would, turn over to Jude. Here, Jude, look there in verse 14. I want you to see Jude verse 14. Jude 14 and then part of 15 here. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. Amen. In verse 15, to execute judgment upon all. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. The heaven will open. Jesus is coming back with His saints. He's stepping foot on this earth at the Mount of Olives here. And Matthew chapter 24 describes this. He describes the second coming of Jesus Christ. So with the amount of time we have left today, I want to go through Matthew chapter 24. So if we turn over to Matthew chapter 24, we're going to pick this up here with Jesus speaking. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples are talking to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 24, and the disciples ask Jesus a question. They ask Jesus the question here in Matthew 24. Look here in verse 3. Saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Verse 3 there. And then verse 4, Jesus answered them. He says here, take heed that no man deceive you. Now that's very interesting to me. Because the disciples asked Him for a sign of the coming of the end of the world. And the very first thing that Jesus says is, take heed that no man deceive you. That should alarm us. That should wake us up. That should cause us to pay attention so we're not deceived. He's telling us, hey, obviously there's going to be a lot of people deceived, isn't there? There are. Right? And so He says, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There are going to be many, many, many people that deceive with a false, whether they're a false preacher, false teacher, with false doctrine, whatever the case might be. But we need to take heed. We need to take heed to that. Now, Matthew chapter 24 shows the events of the Old Testament prophecies of the tribulation are literal. Okay? They're literal. And the thing that we need to remember is when we're reading these, we need to read it from a literal perspective. Jesus Christ wrote what He meant, and He meant what He wrote, and He wrote what He meant. Okay? And we need to take it literally. Whenever you start looking into things is when you mess up. What you need to do is take it literally in the context, right? In the context, and you compare Scripture with Scripture, just like we're doing. All right? Revelation to Zechariah to Joel. Okay, we're looking at the Scriptures, comparing the Scriptures. Okay, but here in Matthew chapter 24, it's telling us the events that's going to occur here at the end of the world. And Matthew 24 gives us a timeline, basically, of the Great Tribulation, of the things that are taking place during the tribulation period. And he divides these into two major parts. In verses 5 through 8, he talks about the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows in verses 5 through 8. And then in verses 9 through 28, he talks about the Great Tribulation. Right? The Great Tribulation. Now we find that same division in Daniel chapter 9. We looked at that again with Daniel's visions and that 70 weeks prophecy. If you remember, what week are we in? We're in the 69th week. We're in the 69th week. All we're waiting for is the rapture. At the rapture, we will go into the 70th week there. But I want to show you just a few things here. I want to start with verse 27. All right? Now we saw the gathering to Armageddon. And secondly, we see here the heaven opens. Right? The heaven opens. And so Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27. When heaven is open, Jesus comes. We see here Matthew 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east. The east, that's important, the east. And shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. See, the coming of Jesus Christ and His attack is going to come out of the east, which is interesting to me. Where does the sun rise? From the east, right? Jesus is the light, right? Jesus is the light, but His coming will be visible. This isn't going to be a secret. His coming will be visible. All will see Him from the east to the west, just as lightning. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him." Every eye shall see Him. All right, Matthew 24, verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now here we're talking about all of the armies of the Antichrist armies and all the kings and all those armies gathered together and are killed. We notice here where their carcass is where the eagles will gather. But verse 29, he says here in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, immediately after the great tribulation, all right, what's going to happen? Jesus says, here's some signs here. What's going to happen? The sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. We see here that immediately, Christ is going to return immediately after the tribulation. The great tribulation occurs, then Jesus comes. Right? And we'll notice here the sun, the moon, the stars, all those things are going to be affected. Then verse 30 says, And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Again, every eye is going to see it. Everybody, they're going to be ready to fight their battle. They're going to look up. They're going to see Jesus coming again and say, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Uh-oh. Right before they're killed, okay? But in that day, there's going to be no doubt who Jesus is. All the tribes will see Him coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In verse 31, He's coming to gather up the saved. It says, and He shall send His angels all around the world with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect, meaning those that were saved during this time, those that were born again during this time, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. They're going to go out and they're going to gather up those saved people. Only the saved are gathered at this time. And it's important to note because there's always been a remnant. There's always a remnant. Now you compare the masses of the armies to those that are saved, it'd probably be a small number that are left that are saved during this time, at this point in time anyway. Remember, many of them were martyred and killed, but here is the end. The remnant in verse 40 says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. There'll be scattered all over the world those saved people, those that came to be born again during the tribulation period. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, you can look at that later. And then Matthew 24 verse 14 says, and this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. All right? Verse 36 in Matthew 24 says, no one knows the day or the time. No one knows. It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No man in heaven, no man on this earth. Nobody knows what to do. So what do we need to do? Well, we got to take heed that we're not deceived. Right? We got to pay attention. In verse 42 through 46, he kind of tells us what we need to do. He says in verse 42, he says, watch. We need to watch. Right? We need to watch. Because we know not what hour your Lord doth come. In verse 44, he says, therefore be ye also ready. We need to be ready. Hey, if you're here today and you're not born again, you've never been saved, you've not trusted Jesus Christ, you're not ready. You're not ready. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, and thou shalt be saved. He died on the cross, was buried, He rose again the third day for you and for eternal life for you. And then verse 45 says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? We need to watch. We need to be ready, and we need to be faithful. There you go. Watch, be ready, and be faithful. Hey, if you're here today and you say, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, well, are you watching? Are you ready?
Are you faithful?
If he comes back right now, will you be found faithful? Because the rapture can happen right now. And as we've learned over the last several weeks now, once that rapture happens, there's going to be a series of things and events that take place over a period of 7 years. Right? The same, we're out of here. Right? We get to go up and be with Jesus and those that have gone on before us, and it's a glorious time. But those that have that are left behind, it's going to be a time of destruction, a time of death, and just not a good time. And so for all those around us, we have the key to get them out of that place of torment. We have the gospel to free them of going to that eternal place. But hey, are we watching? Are we ready? Are we faithful to give that word every chance we get? Now, we'll have to come back and look at this again because, you know, we didn't get very far again, but that's okay. God is good. But hey, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.